So welcome to in-person services for the first time in a few months. And for those watching at home, we're so glad that you have joined in with us. It's nice to see some smiling faces. I will say this, if you're behind a mask this morning, which is totally fine, just smile with your eyes at me so I know that you're smiling. That's one of the things we kind of lose when we put these masks on. Not to mention, I was in the back kind of worshiping, and I almost inhaled this whole mask at one point. I mean, that thing kind of went, I was really kind of getting into it, and I sucked in a little too much, and I almost inhaled a mask. And so this is going to be kind of our foreseeable future, at least through the month of June. We're going to spread things out. We're going to ask you, we're going to call it common sense worship. If you want to wear a mask, wear a mask. If you don't want to wear a mask, that's up to you. We're going to try to lead by example and wear masks when we're out and about with everybody. Last thing we want to do is for something to happen here, and then we're known as the church that gave everybody COVID, you know, so we're going to do everything we can to be sensible and to not inhale our masks. And we sort of anticipate doing this through the month of June, and then we'll kind of see where we are and what our government and everybody says we should be doing, and we'll try to follow that to the best of our abilities. And we will always have our live stream at 9:30, unless we, if we fill this service up and the 11 o'clock service, we may add some services. We've even talked about maybe doing Saturday night, which I think some people would enjoy, gives them the whole day Sunday. And we'll may do a Saturday night live stream, but there will always be an online option. So we want people to know who are not yet ready to come back here. It's totally fine, as long as you keep giving. Like, that's the main... Just kidding. It's just a joke. See, jokes when nobody's in the room are just nothing. It's like, it's kind of like telling jokes to my wife. It's just nothing, right? No laughter, no anything, no applause. But yeah, we're glad to kind of get to this point, and we'll keep moving forward. We're going to adjust. One of the things I love about our church is we can adjust pretty quickly, right? We can change things. We've changed service times. We've added services. We've taken services away. When we have a hurricane, we get together. We go help people. We do different things. And in this case, we're going to do everything we can. We're going to have common sense worship practices if you're in the room, and we love it if you're joining us online as well. That's totally fine. This morning, though, as we begin, I don't want to just sort of jump from COVID and regathering right into the sermon. I just don't want to ignore what's going on in our country and around the world. And I'm glad that things are starting to open back up. I'm glad that maybe some of you are going back to work and that we can regather for those who want to be here. But I don't want to gloss over sort of the social climate of what's going on in our country and what we're facing. Listen, as a church, we have always said that God loves everyone and that we are a church for everyone. And I think we've tried hard to live that out, but I also want to be sort of self-aware as a preacher, as a leader, that as a church, that we could have some blind spots. Right, a couple weeks ago, I was at my neighbor's house, and he was showing me his garden, which he has planted inside a fenced-in area in his yard. We have a lot of deer and rabbits that will just eat your whole garden. So he literally put, it's like a dog kennel. It's about 10 by 12 area, and he's planted a garden inside there to keep sort of the critters out. And the fenced-in area is about 6-foot high fence all the way around with a gate to walk in. And on the way out, he showed me what was going on, and we were actually trying to combat some other critters that get in through underground, which are moles. And so we're trying to sort of set some traps. And on the way out, I was trying not to trip over sort of the fence gate area as you go out. And I was trying not to trip, so I didn't notice that on above me, I had a hat on, and I was looking down, and I walked straight into the crossbar. Like, I mean, hard. I rattled the whole thing, you know, like, I hit it hard enough that it kind of hurt a little bit. I was a little embarrassed by it. I never saw it. I was looking down, had a hat on, ran into it pretty hard. And I say that to say I'm sure that I have some blind spots on some of the issues that our culture is talking about. And as a church family, we may have some places where we're not seeing exactly what's in front of us. And I think it's okay to admit that and to say, hey, we're going to work hard to for our eyes to be open and to move forward. To me, the most important thing is to recognize is that God does not see things the same way that we do, right? God is not bound by all of this. He's not seeing things the way we see things. We should continually seek to see the world through God's eyes, for he created each one of us in his own image, no exceptions. Probably the best thing I read this week is a prayer written by a preacher named Rick Warren. He says that it's a prayer for you, for our nation, for everyone who's ever been hurt by prejudice, bigotry, or racism. And I'd like to just pray this prayer with you as my church family today, for me, for us, and for our country. Would you pray with me? Father, my heart is broken for the people who are hurting right now, for those who are grieving, for those who are afraid, for those who are angry, for those who are discouraged, and for those who are depressed. Lord, we know that this world is not the world you planned. It's not the world that you want it to be, and we've made genuinely a mess of what you created. Lord, we have lived self-centered lives. We've fought with each other instead of fighting for each other, and we believe the worst about each other instead of believing the best about each other. Most of all, Lord, we have forgotten you. So help us to remember that it was your decision and plan to create such diversity. Lord, you intentionally made us different in so many ways, so help us to realize that to reject anyone you've created is to reject you, the Creator. And it is to doubt your wisdom. Lord, help us to be color blessed, not color blind. Help us to enjoy the differences that we are. And now when we're all so distraught and upset, Lord, help us to repent in this crisis, not react in this crisis. Lord, fill us with humility and civility toward each other. And help us to overcome evil with good. And most of all, Lord, help us to look to you for the courage and strength and wisdom to stop this madness. Father, I ask you to comfort every broken heart, heal every grieving heart, calm every angry heart, and give peace to every fearful heart. Lord, we need a spiritual revival in our nation. We need it in this world. May you turn this breakdown into a breakthrough for our world. And Lord, I humbly ask you to bless everyone who is turning to you right now. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As your preacher and as a church, I want us to continually seek God to lead us into every situation and every issue. I hope that this is just the beginning of how God is going to lead us into this particular time. I don't want you to think that we've just started or we've just ended, right? Just by praying a prayer or having a few difficult weeks. I want us as a church to continually move forward and seek God in this. We've been studying through Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and particularly looking at the Beatitudes, and it's crazy when you look at it in human ways how relevant these passages have been to exactly what's going on in our world. Last week, we talked about mercy. Today, we're going to talk about motive. You ever done the right thing for the wrong reason? Let me give you an example. For the last several months, we have been, a small group of us, staff, volunteers, have been coming to this place, in this building, in this room, and producing the worship service, which you guys have been watching and even still watching today. But we've been doing it with very few people in the room. And that's been a challenge for us. You see, typically, you kind of feed off the energy, right? When you make a joke, you expect maybe a little bit of laughter or, at best for me, groans, right? You love the smiles, the hands raised in worship, the amens. But when no one's in the room, it's a bit of a letdown, right? I mean, we have to admit, it's been a really good, though, lesson for us. The question we've been asking ourselves is, who are we doing this for? Right? Think about that. All of a sudden, you walk in and you don't get that instant feedback from the people in the room. And we've been asking ourselves, are we here for disapproval of people sitting here? Are we singing, preaching, performing for you, the church? Or is our focus on God? And it makes it really crystal clear, right? When you walk in and you lead worship or you preach to an empty room, remembering that our audience is and has always been God, not the people sitting in the room. So it's been a really great way to reframe what this is all about, because when there's no one in the room, it really helps us to focus on God who's always in the room. and should be the focus of all that we do. So today is about motive. Matthew 5, verse 8, Jesus says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." Pure in heart carries with it at least two connotations in my mind: cleanness and sincerity. Let's talk first about cleanness. The Pharisees were preoccupied with ceremonial cleanness, right? That, meaning they were worried about how they looked to those around them. They wore the right clothes, they said the right things, but their hearts were actually far from God. Jesus later says this about the Pharisees, and look in Matthew chapter 23 if you don't have your Bible out, or maybe pull up your app or something. It'll be on the screen in the room, but if you're at home, maybe you can follow along with us as we work through this passage. Matthew chapter 23, let's read verses 2 through 7. It says, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. So you must be careful to do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them." Listen to what Jesus says about these Pharisees and teachers of the law. Verse 5, "Everything they do is done for people to see. They make their phylacteries wide and the tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to be called rabbi by others." Right? Their hearts were not pure. Jesus says, "Blessed are the pure in heart." Their motives were self-serving and ungodly. Jesus says, "Blessed are the pure in heart." And this isn't a new sentiment, right? Even the Old Testament, it was understood. Psalm 24, verses 3 and 4. "Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false God." You see, God demands that our purity reach the depths of our heart, not just an outward thing, right? We need to be clean, clean hands, clean heart, pure heart. Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart." The second connotation is sincerity. Jesus calls for hearts that are unmixed. Later in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 24, again, read with me from your scriptures, or if you're in the room, watch it on the screen. It says, Jesus says, Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, "Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moth and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." He says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" Verse 24 says, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." So the context here is treasure. Jesus says, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." But in verse 22, when Jesus says, "If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be healthy," the Greek here in this for healthy implies generous. In other words, if you see things with the eyes of God, then you will be generous. And that kind of goes beyond even money. That goes on how you treat each other. That goes down to the core of who you are. So if you see things with the eyes of God, then you will be generous, and your whole body will be healthy. Your whole life will be healthy. And the opposite is true. Verse 23, when Jesus says, "If your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be unhealthy." The Greek there for unhealthy here implies stingy. If you see things in a stingy way, unlike God who's generous, then your life is going to be unhealthy and stingy. And Jesus ends this part of the Sermon on the Mount simply saying, no one can serve two masters. there can't be a conflict in you, right? There's that conflict with the Pharisees. On the outside, they wanted to look clean, but on the inside, they were dirty. God expects a single-minded devotion to him. Therefore, in order to see God, we have to have pure hearts, hearts that are clean and sincere. It's important that we see this relationship in the right context. We're not trying to earn God's approval by having a pure heart, right? That purity of heart is only imputed to us through Jesus, right? It is given to us. It's not our ticket to see. Our purity that we're talking about here in Matthew chapter 6 that Jesus is talking about as in one of the Beatitudes, it's not our ticket to see him. It's not going to earn your way to heaven by trying to be pure. But it is an imperative prerequisite to cleaning the clutter from our spiritual eyes. See, God is not hiding from us, though sometimes we don't see him. We put blinders on that can only be removed by a pure heart. Earlier this week, I was trying to shave, or I was shaving, and I got about halfway done. I usually start on this side, if you're wondering. And there's a couple spots I don't like. I don't like right here. Guys, are you with me? And then kind of up in here. I typically have like a, I'm not careful, I have like a tiny little mustache right up here by my nose because it's hard to get. I got an overhang here, you know. It's hard to get up in there. So I was working my way. I got about halfway through, and I dropped my razor. And when I dropped the razor, the blade part disengaged or came apart from the handle. So I took that. It's kind of slippery. It's got water and shaving cream on it. So I put it back together, and I began shaving again. And I started on this other side. And I get almost done, and I realize that the second half of my face was not shaved. The shaving cream had been removed, but there I still had a beard. So imagine had I left, you know, like sort of a weird half beard, you know. And it took me a couple of minutes to figure out that when I had put the blade back on, I put it on upside down. So instead of shaving with the blades kind of, you know, removing, I was going with it. I put the whole thing back together backwards. And although I was moving with this, I had the same exact motion and hitting the same spots, my face was not becoming clean shaven. The beard was still there. And to be honest, that's how some of us walk the Christian life. We go through all the motions. We hit all the right spots, but we're not getting clean. Why? Well, our hearts are not clean and sincere. We got something backward in there. We lack the right motives. And here's the kicker. When we approach God without clean and sincere hearts, we don't really see God for who he is. Right, that's the promise that Jesus gives us. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And I would put my emphasis, really see God. Not to get to heaven, but to really see God and to know him, we have to approach him with a clean, sincere heart. And it's twofold in my mind. We only obtain purity of heart or forgiveness of sins through Jesus, right? Initially, that's what we're talking about. We cannot make ourselves initially clean. But once we are clean, we can really see God for who he is. We have to continually keep our hearts clean and sincere, pure. So if we continue to seek a pure heart, a clean and sincere heart, we will see God more and more clearly each and every day. The Pharisees, whose hearts were unclean, were far from the heart of God. Back to Matthew 23, it says in verse 27, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You're like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of the bones of the dead and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness." Jesus rips the Pharisees, right? The teachers of the law, and calls them hypocrites. Why? Because they only cared about how they looked on the outside. He compares them to whitewashed tombs. Think about that. They look beautiful. Like, think about it. You've got this tomb, and it looks marvelous, but really it's just hiding the decaying and dead bones and everything unclean on the inside. Not long ago, I was mowing our yard, and I noticed that there was something laying in the yard in front of the mower as I was kind of making a pass. And as I got closer, I saw that it was a very small but dead possum. And it must have been a baby that somehow died and was laying in our yard. And yes, that's very sad. I agree. And as the mower passed, I must have moved it or hit it with the tire or something, because all of a sudden, I smelled the most foul odor you could ever imagine. Anybody, you ever smelled something dead? It was awful. I mean, awful. Jesus says this about those who are one way on the outside but another way on the inside, that they're like whitewashed tombs. Everything is beautiful on the outside, but on the inside, they're foul. They reek of death and decay. James, the brother of Jesus, gives us the antidote to this way of living. James 4:8 says, "Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded." Listen, church, let's not be double-minded. Let's not be one way on the outside just to look good in front of everyone and then allow the inside to be reeking of death and decay. Let's get washed up. Do you want to see God? Do you really want to see God? Then let's get clean. Let's do all that we can to have clean and sincere hearts, hearts that are close to the heart of God. Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." If you're listening today and have an unclean heart, why don't you let God get you cleaned up? I've told this story before, but years ago when I was a kid, my cousin and I on my granddaddy's farm, my grandfather raised some cattle, and he would slaughter a cow every year and give, that was sort of the Christmas for his family. He would have it butchered and give it to him. We were there one day when that process was happening. My cousin and I, we're probably 10 or 12 years old. This is really gross, I'm sorry. Like, first day back in the room, if you're at home eating Cheerios, I'm sorry, but we got the cow eyeball. Like, I apologize. I was 10. Forgive me. And we did what you would do with that. We chased our sisters, right? All around the farm and had a big time throwing this thing. And they did what sisters and cousins do. They went in and told my grandmama. And so at the end of all of this nonsense, my cousin and I were coming inside, running, and my grandmother met us at the door. She said, "Oh, no. You're not coming in here with all that filth on you." So we turned around. She sent us back out into the yard to go to the pump house, right? We couldn't even come in. And she said, "I want you to get washed up." See, God wants us to get washed up. When Saul was on his way to Damascus to persecute Christians, Jesus appeared to him and spoke to him. Saul's eyes were blinded, and he was taken then to a Christian named Ananias came to see him. God said, "I want you to go see this guy named Saul," Ananias was living in Damascus. And God told Ananias to go speak to him. Saul's sight was restored, and then Ananias said to Saul, "And now what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, wash your sins away," calling on his name. See, Jesus died so that we could get washed up, so that we could have our sins forgiven, calling on the name of the Lord. Maybe there's someone listening today who's ready to get washed up. I'd love to talk to you about it. If you're in the room, let's talk after service. Find me. I'm the guy with the mask on. If you're at home watching now, or you're watching this later today or this week, I want you to reach out to me. You can call the church office. You can email me at david@tworiverschurch.com. God wants us all to get washed up. That's what Jesus came for. But for those of us who have accepted Christ, have already been forgiven, are Christians, maybe it's time that we repent of our double-mindedness. What are those places in our lives where we do not have the heart of God? Let's pray this prayer. God, give us clean hearts that we can see you, really see you. In just a minute, Emily's going to lead us into a time of communion. But before she comes, will you pray with me? God, we love you. We thank you for all that you've done for us, Lord. Thank you for sending Jesus that we can have the forgiveness of sins through him. But Lord, as we try to live this Christian life for you, would you help us to simply not be double-minded? Lord, help us not to have one intent on the outside, but another thing in our hearts. So Lord, help us to check our motives. Lord, give us pure hearts that we might see you, really see you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.